Come to my window, come inside, wave by the light of the moon.
Who sings that song?
Melissa Etheridge, bitch.
Yeah, let's keep it that way.
Oh, rude.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Welcome back, people, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0. I am Tom, and I am your host, a very excited host right now. And I'm here with my friends who are always here with me around my table. We're having cocktails, doing all that good stuff, and we've got an awesome, fantastic show for you. So let's introduce our co-host, ladies and gentlemen. I'll start with the one on my right.
Hey, y'all. Nick or Trish.
Hey, guys. It's Paul Anthony.
Good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And this is
The Dish. Dish.
Welcome to the motherfucking show. Yes, queen. So we have
first time in a while having the four of us sitting next to each other back in the studio. It's amazing.
It is.
I'm feeling
because,
some good energy.
I mean, between Paul Anthony traveling and you were in Germany and Trish over here went away for the weekend. I was like, oh my God, what do I do without my boys? But
we had a nice weekend together, Tom.
We did.
Drinks and lunch the next day.
Oh my goodness.
We had...
I think we all had a really good weekend.
It was. You were over by the pool. Yeah. We hung out with the guys from Grind to the Opera, the abridged version of the show.
How was it?
On Saturday. It was amazing.
It was fantastic.
I watched the live feed.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you guys get a chance, you can go to our Facebook page, and we did post the live feed for that performance there if you haven't seen it already.
It's awesome. On my page as well. This is Chris.
Yes, and he's got a Facebook now. Oh wait,
I've always had a Facebook.
He has an Instagram now.
I was like, wait, what do I have?
I have a Twitter now. Trish set me up a Twitter.
Yes, I was at work and I was like, all right, I'm done. She's coming into 2008. Thanks,
I'm on
Michael
the struggle
Buckley.
Bus. I'm seriously on
I
the struggle.
I can't keep up with that. It's too much.
I'm on the struggle bus. Let me rewind. He has an Instagram now. He's always had a Facebook. Okay. Anyway, where were we?
Yeah.
So, we have so much to cover. So let's just dish right into it. You know, Lady Gaga, she posted something on Facebook. She says that, you know, there are rumors that they were breaking up. She was breaking up with Taylor Kinney. And I'm saddened
so
because.
Hot.
I don't even know who that is.
He's from Chicago Fire.
I never watched that one.
Oh, he's hot. He is really hot. So anyway, so she posted a picture of them, you know, just walking away and all you can see is their back on Facebook. And she wrote that Taylor and I have always believed that we are soulmates. And she went on saying that just like all couples, we have our ups and downs and we have been taking a break. And we are both ambitious artists hoping to work through a long and complicated schedules to continue the simple love that we have always shared. Please root for us. And we are just like everybody else. And all we want to do is love each other. And I thought that was a really, really good message because it's not saying that they're breaking up. It's just saying that they're really working through something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very hopeful message. And how many
relationships are you in that you take a break and you come back and it either works or it doesn't work, but let's root for them. That's what they want right now.
I hope because, you know, she is such a wonderful human being and she's very successful, both personally and artistically, that I wish her the best. And Lady Gaga, if you ever listen to this episode or our show, we would love for Mama Monster to call into the show and, you know, give us a couple of words.
I would literally lose my shit.
Yeah, well, we're going to lose our shit later on.
We don't need no more curtains on that toilet bowl.
Okay, that's enough.
I don't get that.
I never heard that term.
Can we talk about that?
Yes. Yeah,
I thought
sure.
you were talking about yes. the curtains. And
no,
I know, okay, me so too. Why did you shit on the curtains?
No, okay, no. I lived with five straight guys in college.
Sucks.
And they started talking about curtains on the toilet, and I didn't really know what it meant. And then finally, they were like, I didn't leave the curtains on the toilet, and I walked into the toilet, and there was just kind of like remnants. That didn't go down, like on the walls.
So this is a straight man terminology?
Yeah.
It's no wonder gay men don't know.
I mean, like, but I don't know. It's just like, you know, it's gross. And so I just had to say, like, it wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
She caught me on the counter.
It wasn't me.
What happened to him?
Who?
Shaggy.
Does it matter?
Yes!
Fine.
God damn. I want to talk about the weekend because I got some dish.
Let's keep some notes out of this.
I also got a photo that needs to be put up on the website.
Well, you need to give it to me so that I can put it on the website.
Well, because I'll process that photo first.
You might not want to put it on the website.
With the quickness, I'll put it on the website with the quickness. You have no idea what I will do, especially when it's up to you.
Before we get into Daddy, let's talk about Trish's weekend.
It was a lovely weekend.
You went up to the Berkshires to see your friends for their 30th. I really want to get to the fun part.
Okay.
The Ziploc baggie. You dirty filth man. So fucking gross.
Okay, first of all, it's not dirty or filthy.
It's just the idea. I'm picturing it and I'm like, this is fucking gross.
All right, so everybody, we talked about this, I think, a week ago or so. Excuse me.
She throwing you under the bus again?
I'm
coming for you too, Tom.
I have officially donated seed to a beautiful lesbian couple.
No shit, you did?
Yeah, this happened this weekend, it was an interesting thing. So I got to the house, and because we're not the OBGYN is just saying, you know, why don't we try it the first couple of times, like the home kit. I was like, okay, fine, let's do it that way.
Okay.
And so I get to the house, we all like catch up, we're talking because they're friends of mine, and then I'm like, okay, somebody's got to break the ice. I'm about to masturbate into a cup for these ladies. And so finally I was like, all right, so where am I jerking off? And they were like, okay, so we have two options. You could jerk off in the bathroom or the spare room. And I like checked them both out. I'm like, well, the spare room has a spare bed. I'll do it in the spare room.
Oh my God.
And I was like, so how do you guys want me to
jerk off?
No, not jerk off. I know how to do that. I'm fine with that.
Where do you want me to shoot my seed?
Yeah, like what am I putting it in, a syringe? Am I putting it in a bag? Am I putting it in a cup? And so I put it into, they asked me to put it into a plastic bag.
Oh my God.
And so a little Ziploc bag, I surprisingly filled it up. I was pretty impressed by how much was actually in there.
I would have shot a blank. I would have been like, I'm jerking off for
but
two fucking lesbians
so
right now.
Long.
Nothing's coming out.
I was so
Honey,
nervous.
We don't need another Paul Anthony running around in the world. God, trust me.
Hello. Every time I was getting close and I went to grab the bag, my dick would just go soft because I was so nervous.
Oh my God.
So finally I was like, I just got to do this. I just went hard up on my dick and I was like, yes. Grab the bag, put it in there. And then I walked out and they were sitting on the porch and I was like, it's your turn.
Yeah. So basically they turkey basted your babies and shoved them up her twat and squirted in there
pretty much.
Yeah. So and then a little bit later, I you know, because I want to know how it's going and whatnot, I said, just
it's like Thanksgiving, like, all over again.
I was like, just let me know how everything goes. And she texted me a picture of her feet up in the air. She's like, I'm elevated.
Oh, my God. I didn't know how that worked.
Am I dripping out of you right now?
Yeah, that's disgusting. I knew you.
That's so gross.
I thought like you would go to a clinic and it would be
You can,
done.
But that's like $10,000.
Oh, fuck that noise. So just
well, it's the home version.
Stop and shop bag. Just
I mean, if it doesn't work, you might as well just fuck her.
Well, here's the thing, right? So I'm going to put it out to the universe because I'm feeling really positive about it. Twins run in my family, and twins run in her family. My family's very fertile, and so is hers. I have a funny feeling that this is going to take, and she's going to have twins.
What if she had triplets?
Poor thing.
I'm going to sign that document three times then.
And if you guys are wondering what document that is him relinquishing his rights, parental rights to any of the children that may come out of this. So, yeah, I would sign that document on every freaking corner. On every piece of paper that has free space on it, I'd be signing it.
Do I initial here? No, sir, you don't. Well, I'm going to initial here.
I'm going to do it anyway.
Doesn't matter. It's happening. Yeah, because...
And for our listeners, so you know, it wasn't just a... flippant on the whim. This has been 4 years in the making, so there's been lawyers involved, and it's been a trip. So
I think that's a great thing.
This is the first time we're trying.
We're gonna have a little Nick Bussett running around the world somewhere in the world.
Won't have my last name though.
Well, it'll be yours.
That's
really
sweet. That's really sweet.
You won't be able to deny that one. You know, but hey, what are you gonna do? Well, I mean, we had a good weekend though. He's impregnating lesbians.
I'm impregnating Daddy.
Pretty much. Let's talk about your Boston trip.
Oh, I've had a very long weekend. I've been like six major cities this weekend.
Except for she got on the wrong train.
Don't even talk about it.
No, I have to.
So, yes, you do.
I'm working. I'm supposed to go to Boston. I don't know if any of you remember the daddy that I met in P-Town. Well, I went to go visit him in Boston before he flew back to where he lives. And I'm working all morning. I'm at the train station. I'm working for my boss. on conference calls. I'm sending out emails. I'm setting up appointments. I'm booking flights, hotels, blah, blah, blah. Ding I get on the train. Dong. I put my... Emily.
Emily.
I get on the train. I have my headphones in, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm on the train. I'm going to Boston. And this girl sits down next to me after, like, I don't even know how many stops it was. And she's like, do you mind plugging my phone in for me? I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. And she goes, where are you heading? I'm like, Boston. She goes, to or from? No, to. She goes, honey, this is the train to New York City.
Yes, queen.
I look at her. I don't even say anything. And I'm just like, ah.
So just to let you know, just to let you know, on the train from New York to Norwalk, I think that's where you were, right?
That was on my way back. I ended up in Stamford.
So from New York to Stamford alone, it's probably about an hour and 5 minutes on that train. So now he's put out an hour and 5 minutes away.
South. Yeah, like opposite south, direction.
And he has to come back. So he sends me a picture.
Oh, no, I had to get off the train in Stamford, run to a platform, open up the Amtrak app, buy a fucking Acela fast train from Stamford to Boston. $130 later, I text the group. I'm like, hey, guys, you want to know something funny? I'm like, check the map. Because we all share our location.
Hey, you guys want to know something funny? I'm on my way to Boston. Check the map.
And I'm like,
what are you
minute.
Doing in Norwalk? I'm like, I don't want to talk about it. And Nick's like, did you get on the wrong train?
He sure did.
And I just sent a gif of like face palm.
Yeah. I was, and Emily.
I was in fucking Germany, nothing in English, and I even got on the right train.
Well,
to find
that's
myself.
Paul Anthony for you, yes, not paying attention to life.
She misses her flights, she gets on the wrong trains, but the pussy always gets plastic.
Yes, I made it to Boston. I had a wonderful time with Daddy.
Are you going to marry him?
Huh?
Are you going to marry him?
She's going to marry Trish.
Come on. We need to get you off the market for at least a year.
I don't fall in love.
1 year. Give other people a
break. I fall in lust.
I know. You fall in love.
I will see him.
It's an in-between lust and love.
I will see him before. If not, then I'll see him in December for my Dirty 30 down in Florida.
Oh.
But let me tell you, we had a good old time. We went to dinner. Well, before we went to dinner, we went at it as soon as we got into that hotel room.
It's always better to do
then
it before
Then we got upgraded
dinner,
to a new room because we wanted a street view. What?
I said it's always better to do it before dinner. Actually, you
we were doing it all. We were doing it all
first,
in between.
If you fuck first, then you don't have to have a salad for dinner. You can have a fucking cut prime rib, whatever the fuck.
I
you
had
want.
Sushi and then I had like rice and beans and everything. We were going at it.
Sound like a true Puerto Rican.
We had a shower shot in the hotel. Hello.
Yes, queen.
So it was real good. We were all over the place. What you playing with over there?
Oh no, it's a little stand for cameras and whatever. You can wrap them.
No, Daddy and I had a really good time.
One of those gorillas.
He's like, I'm
ones.
Done with your tech stuff. Yeah. What's that? Okay, yeah. So Daddy and I.
He's so fucking hot. Well, people were just looking at us at the club, like, oh, these two are hot. We were looking around for a third. Mm-hmm. Mm. Wasn't anything really worthy. And then he's like, I want this guy to come over and fuck you. I'm like, how big is it? He goes, he's 5 inches. I go, uh-uh. I don't want that. You're going to have somebody fuck me. You're going to have, I want 9 or bigger.
And mind you, he had just had butthole reconstruction surgery. Okay.
She put that right
well,
to fucking
that's
work.
That's fine because you know what? Daddy, he opened it back up for me.
Good girl. Mm-hmm. Are you going back for surgery again? 2 months?
Give or take.
No.
I'm just saying.
I haven't. She is never getting in there again. I'm done with her, and she is done with me.
Well, listen, Chris
she
and I had
me.
A wonderful weekend.
We
went
had a
out.
Good one, Tom.
We did. We hung out Saturday. We went to the bar where he works at. Because remember, guys, we're all four bartenders, and we all work at a bar, but Chris is the only one that works at the other bar.
That is I.
On the other side of town. Well, not the other side of town, but the other side of
the
block.
Street, yeah.
So they were having the performance for Grind of the Opera, and Chris and I started. And
at
we
the Robin went, Banks show?
Yes, Robin Banks.
Robin Banks.
And then we started drinking shots, and then we started drinking beer. And then...
Oh, shit, I forgot I'm going to get thrown under a bus at the end of this one.
You're
oh, yes, you are.
Yes.
Oh, I can't wait.
So we leave the bar, because now it's 2 in the morning, and now we had to go to the other bar to go get our fellow bartender, who was going to be our Uber, not Uber.
Hey, nicely done.
I know, because he literally screamed at me all weekend.
I did not
kept
scream
saying,
right.
Uber.
Uber.
He's like, no, bitch, it's Uber.
And I'm in New York. I went back to New York at my sister's in the pool, and I'm FaceTiming with Tommy. Chris can't even speak English. He's running down Crown Street screaming in German. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, pretty much.
I do not remember any of this.
So we get to the other bar, and you know, when you go to the bars, you know, things happen in the bars when you're employees that normal people don't see. But anyway, we were done with the bar, and our fellow person who brought us home. We get in the car. I get in the front seat. Chris gets in the back. And we arrive at my home. And I open up the door to get out. And, of course, this person who drove us home opens his door to let Chris out of the back. Because now Chris wants to transition to the front. And all of a sudden, he takes a nosedive out of the car into the pavement.
I wish somebody had this on film.
So check this out.
I got a mark on my knee.
He didn't even go hands down. He twisted his body and fell on his shoulder. Mm-hmm. And then he was just like this with legs up in the air. Not that you can see me, but his legs up were up in the air. I'm looking at him like devastated. I'm like, I can't believe this just happened in front of my house. I'm like, I hope my neighbors are not watching at 3 o'clock in the morning because this is sad.
Well, my body knows to do the twist.
Well,
take the hits in the shoulders. It did. Deck the face.
It did deck a really. It did a really good twist. Because let me tell you, you went down hard.
Balance
girl.
Is my first thing to go. Balance is just
balance.
Because I was floating around in my sister's pool.
Everything went.
I'm floating around in a pool at 3 a.m. I get a FaceTime call from Tommy telling me this whole story.
Yeah, he went down.
I have a screenshot of Tommy. It is the funniest photo ever because he was so drunk. Walking into the walls. He's like, I'm fucking wasted. Chris fell down.
You have a screen-
I had like 4 shots and 2 more beers after the bar.
Yeah,
so you have a screenshot of me?
Oh, girl, sweaty and looking like you're about to shit your pants.
That's going on the website.
That is not going on the website.
Totally going on the website.
He's got his finger. He's biting his finger. He's like, oh, girl. With your pretty eyeliner.
One
girl,
of our listeners is going to have to dial 911 because this bitch is about to get killed. We're about to bring her
down. That
was down.
Fucking brilliant.
I don't care if we're in different cities. I will still.
I have a couple of screenshots of her too. So if that one
probably got them already up on there.
If that one has to go on the website, your screenshots are going on.
What
the
do
website.
You have? Of
I
me?
Have to dig them up, and I'm not doing that right now. Honey,
no, we're very busy.
We have to get back to the show. So,
yeah. But then you know we reunited. We did. We had a lovely, lovely lunch.
Chris
together.
And I went to
Sandpiper.
The Sandpiper, which is a restaurant in East Haven, Connecticut. And we had
where they drug you.
We had steak. We had French fries. We had salads.
Coke and Sprite.
Coke and Sprite.
We were not drinking.
We could not drink.
I can't believe.
Yeah. It was.
And the steak was delicious.
It was so good.
Oh,
we had a really nice weekend.
Yeah, we did. It was fun. We did.
One time, Tommy and I went to lunch or dinner, or breakfast.
It was breakfast.
After one of my rough nights where he was my Uber.
Uh-huh.
And we get there and I'm like, I'm ordering a mimosa. You two are like Coke and Sprite. I'm like, mimosa.
Well, I think we thought about it because Tommy
actually,
was like,
that was
Coke
the time that
start.
You your car wouldn't start and I had to go jump you, but we needed to go get cables. And then we drove to go get cables.
That was
and
a different time.
Oh.
That was
damn
a different
it.
Time.
See?
Y'all's,
no. But that was
a lot of times. You guys call me messes. You all are messes.
No, well, the problem
we're
was
all one big mess together.
We were hungry, so we went to eat and then 3 margaritas later, he's like, I don't think there's any tequila in this margarita.
That was the time that
Tommy, there's tequila in the margarita.
I'm telling you, we're a mess. We are. So anyway, getting back to the dish. Yale actually, I don't know if you guys remember, but a couple of episodes ago, we had talked about that Yale had fired a black man because he took a broomstick and, you know, destroyed an artistic stained glass that was sitting in Calhoun College at the Yale University. And he was a black employee and he got fired for doing it. But what was being depicted on this, you know, stained glass was African slaves picking cotton. And he basically said that he was just fed up of having to walk through the Calhoun College and see that every day. And so he just took a broomstick and just broke it. And he ended up getting fired. And this week, Yale has announced that they hired him back. He is not working in Calhoun College anymore. He's in a different position in a different area. But they did hire him back because they understand the sensitivity behind the actions that he took. You know, and you really have to think about what this man had to endure. I mean, you're working in a college called Calhoun College, which was named after Vice President John C. Calhoun, who graduated from Yale in 1804, who owned slaves.
Well,
so
I would have done the same thing.
I would have knocked the shit out of that window and then looked at everybody and said, what?
I'd give him a little high five.
Yeah.
I get it. It's,
I mean, no one should deface property. And but here's the thing.
Tally it up, baby.
The problem was that many other people have even complained that why are we calling this college Calhoun College? It shouldn't be called this because this man stood for, you know, slavery. And we need to move on as a society if we want to get out of that, you know,
mentality. But at the same time, we have to honor our past. And if you know, I'm not saying that we shouldn't change the name, but what I am saying is that if we forget, that is the worst thing we can do. We need to honor our past and acknowledge these people. Whether or not he was a good man or a bad man, he did stand for something that was horrible. But I'm sure he did positive things for this country.
Right. And well, I mean, take the stained glass. Hello.
And remove it
and put it in a museum or something.
Yeah. See, I understand his anger and what would have brought him to finally just be like, I can't look at this anymore. But it was probably the darkest time in our history. Slavery was horrible.
Well, in many countries.
But you can never forget your history and you can't try to erase it. Even in Germany, there are many things from Nazi Germany still remaining there, and they teach it. I went to Dachau. Like, I stood along...
That's not even a real word.
Dachau? That's the name of the camp.
Okay.
It's like, I'm joking.
I was like... Yeah, you know, and they encourage people, young people, to go there because they never, you know, it's unfortunate that that was in their history, but they never want to pretend it never happened. So I stood where horrible things happened. So having that stained glass, I get it. It's depicting history. It's showing a dark time. I don't blame him for doing what he did, but I agree with the whole Calhoun thing. It's interesting that it's still named after this man.
And they've been fighting that. But I mean, it's been quite, like, for the past 2 or 3 years, Yale has been in the spotlight because they have several colleges. Because, you know, the Yale University is made up of many, many different colleges. And I believe two of them are named for individuals who had ties to slavery.
So I want to know what they did. Like, like Nick said, they must have done something that was good for the country.
He went to Yale.
And so, then he became vice president later, so they named it for him.
So there's that, but there, I mean, we have to also understand that back then, during that time period, what he was standing for was generally accepted by the populace.
What's the norm in the South? And he came to a northern college, and he must have been very accomplished because they named it after him.
Of course. He was a vice president.
Yeah, I didn't do my research as to why they named it. I really wanted to bring forth this story about this gentleman who lost his job. What people don't understand is that Yale is a very, very good paying employer.
Speaking of somebody who should lose their job, did you guys hear about the principal that tweeted out that all gay men should be put to death?
Well,
the principal, and
let's start with him, because you know he's a closet case raping little boys in that school, right?
His name is Steve Kenny,
and
he's a principal in the Center Academy in Florida, and he's now suspended for 2 weeks with no pay, and he has to go to mandatory diversity training.
He should be suspended for life
of the tweet that he sent out.
He actually tweeted, how could you be in the public education system? How could you, think that?
You know how many gay kids are probably in that school?
Yeah.
You know how many gay kids are probably scared to come out because of this asshole?
Yeah.
Suspended.
Remove that man.
Suspended. Goodbye.
Here's what I say. We are all entitled to our opinions.
That's fine.
Right? What we believe in. But when you are working with the public, you can't bring your personal feelings and interject them in someone else's way of living in life.
Especially with children, as an educator.
As long as someone's not breaking the law, there is no reason why they can't be who they are and you be who you are. Mm-hmm. And move on. If that person wants to be gay.
I agree with you so completely. You believe whatever you want to believe, but if you are in a position, like a principal, for these kids that are learning and growing, you need to be able to be accepting of all people. There's a woman that I know, one of my best friend's sisters, her family, her and her husband, they're not very accepting of gay people. They're not. They're not accepting of their lifestyle, but they love me because I'm close with the family. And they've always treated me with the same respect that they've treated everybody else. Their position and I've talked to them several times about it, is their feeling and whatever, but they never bring it to a negative light in front of me. It's their opinion. They keep it to themselves. Mm-hmm.
And they're respectful.
See, and that's respect.
That's being
and
a human
that
being.
That is being a human being and knowing that, you know what, in this world, we all walk the same path, but we all react to what we encounter on that path very differently. And I think that tolerance is, without tolerance, we're going to be in big trouble. Big trouble. And, you know, to this principle, I hope you learned your lesson. I hope that, you know what, continue to believe what
Fuck
you believe.
That. I hope you lose your job.
Yeah, shame on you.
I hope you get sodomized. People are fucking assholes.
That's disgusting.
Yes, Paul!
And then this
fucking crazy 20-year-old who fucking just killed 15 people and 20 That's are sad. Injured in Tokyo.
In Japan.
He went into a disabled home and started fucking stabbing the shit out of people. I guess he told the police that... What did he tell the police? Police responded to a call after 2:30 in the morning, and then he said to the police, I want to get rid of the disabled from this world.
What the fuck?
It's sad. People it really are, is. We had another shootout in Florida in another nightclub.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fort Myers.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. We live in... listen, unless we get some sensible gun reform in this country, we're going to have a really hard time.
But then it's even... they're going beyond guns now. I mean, as we saw in Nice, you know, as you guys know, I just came back from Europe. In Nice,
you did?
Know, a terrorist.
That was like so 2 weeks ago.
I know.
And after this conversation you're about to spit out, we need to talk about this outfit you're wearing.
We'll get there. But as we know, I got my lederhosen. But as we know, in Nice, a terrorist like ripped through a pier with a truck. Like, that was his weapon.
Oh my
he
God,
did have a
that
handgun.
That was so horrible.
Horrible. Killing a lot of people, plus three Americans. And then after leaving Munich, there was a stabbing. A young man, 17-year-old.
With the axe?
Wielding a machete or axe. Yeah, they keep saying different weapon, but going onto a Bavarian train and just going at people. And then again, there was a shooting in Munich at a mall. But that's not linked to terror. That's more of like what we deal with here. It seemed he was bullied, and it seemed like he just had enough of getting picked on. And
see, but we can't use that excuse. A terrorist is a terrorist. When you sit, you could sit here and be mutilated. You can sit here and be victimized. You can sit here and be sodomized, and you can be beaten to life, beaten to death. It doesn't matter. When you, as a human being, make the decision to go and mass murder people, that's terrorism. I'm sorry. It might be as a result of a reaction, something that you're reacting to, but you took it upon yourself to make that decision to go buy that firearm and just go to town.
To piggyback on that, though, I do want to say that, you know, PTSD is a real thing.
Yes,
it sure is.
And there are people that have been put through a lot of situations. And bullying is one of those situations. Mm-hmm. You can be bullied so badly that you have been put into a place where you are literally going through post-traumatic stress disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not
too.
Thinking clearly. It's like those mothers when they have postpartum depression and they're killing they've killed their kids. They're not in the right frame of mind. What we need to do is help these kids and find a way to actually stop the bullying and be a positive support.
Well, and our government is not making it easy either, because they're not really funding some of the programs out there and really focusing on mental health issues like they should be.
Yeah.
You know, because that they drive.
Don't focus on me,
other.
Though.
We'll try not to, honey, because we know you're mentally disturbed.
And with me chiming in on that, I do agree with the gun reform thing. I was just bringing it that
because
it's not only guns that are doing it, but yes, of course, we know that
we are living in a world right now where things are changing.
Quickly.
They're changing very fast. For example, Nickelodeon makes history by featuring their first gay couple on a show.
I saw that.
A cartoon network.
It was ridiculous.
But it's kind of cute because, you know, they're making history.
Was it an interracial couple?
Interracial gay couple.
Interracial gay
That's
couple.
Great.
They really went
balls deep. Yes, sorry. I'm like, they're like, not only are we going to put a gay couple on there, we're going to put an interracial gay
Can
couple on
Can you imagine how an many homophobic families were like, you're not watching Nickelodeon anymore?
I mean, yeah.
I'm sure they didn't even get it. Like, oh, are they just friends?
Yeah. I think the show is called The Loud House, in which it's about a kid named Lincoln who's growing up as the only only boy in a family of 10 sisters. Honey, I would have been either metrosexual or seriously gay with 10 sisters.
Seriously.
But, you know, Wednesday's episode, I believe, was called Overnight Success. And Lincoln invites his best friend, Clyde McBride, over for a sleepover. So I'll leave it at that.
Check it out. Funny. It's pretty funny.
It was funny.
Sleepover.
So another
I remember
random
some of my sleepovers when I was
I don't want to hear about those sleepovers, Tommy. Mm.
Did they involve lederhosen?
Well, no. I didn't even know what those were.
He looks like fucking Steve Urkel right now.
I do not look like I am your Bavarian correspondent.
Well, oh, we're taking Jesus. A photo and putting that on the website, too.
Jawohl.
And he's wearing a Canadian t-shirt so with when his I was, lederhosen.
Two places I'd rather be. Other than with you guys.
Bitch. Which was where? What?
Canada and Bavaria.
So when I was in the Berkshires this weekend, took a couple photos and I Instagrammed a couple photos. And I would take them and then I'd filter them or whatever I would do to them. And then I would be with my friends and be like, all right, guys, give me a couple minutes. I'm hashtagging.
That's the worst part like, about it. I know. Hate hashtagging.
So, but if
That's
you hashtag
I,
things.
I get it. I get it.
You get more
it.
Likes. You get more followers, yeah. Blah, 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 blah. So my friend sent me a photo this like after I left and last night I was at the bar. My best girlfriend sent me a photo and she goes, only 38 likes. I knew I should have hashtagged gay tomatoes, gay dinner. I love the gays.
Yes. She probably would have gotten like 30 extra likes on that one.
She probably would have. They would have been like, yes, gay tomatoes.
But you so Mystery Man is back in the studio. We can't say who he is, but he sends me a message on Messenger asking me if I'm holding a dildo.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. It was inside of me earlier. Actually, you can go
three ways with that dildo. It's got three legs. That one very
talented.
Three of
the hosts were there. I'll just sit back.
It's not big enough for Paul.
No, Paul's a size queen.
Put them all three together.
Yeah. She's a size queen.
There you go. That'll work.
Big that'll size work. Queen.
I'm not a size queen. If you know what you're doing with it, I'll love it. But if it's... like the one in Boston when he wanted to fuck me and it was only like 5'5" and a half. No, what is that?
I was told that the smaller ones hurt more than the bigger ones.
It yeah, depends. Because
they don't get in all the way.
Like I don't like fingers in my butt. I don't want a fucking pinky in there. No.
Oh, no. Okay.
The whole hand.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
I think it's a perfect time.
Ooh.
So anyway, so wait. Listen, talking about craziness, we have to actually, you know, keep the show going. So we have a segment that we need to introduce, and that segment is Angels and Assholes.
Oh, wait. I was talking about the other segment. Should we wait to do that segment?
Do we want to do?
Well, I mean, we're talking about fingers and assholes an inch long.
All right. Well, let's do Paul's segment. Paul actually has his sex tips.
Sex tips.
Sex yes. tips with Paul Anthony. So yeah, let's talk about that.
We're going to start that off today.
Yes, queen.
And the great thing about this today is it's a little bit more geared towards the heterosexuals with a little gay twist to it.
Okay. Well,
so
speak
I
on.
Did a little of research uh-huh. and basically it's.
Yes.
Five super uh-huh. hot sex tips you can learn from gay couples.
Okay.
Or gay men.
What's the first one?
Well, rimming.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Straight people
Let
need
me look
to
at
learn
my laptop,
how to rim.
My laptop. So basically, guys, if you've gone down in your ladies, you know how great oral sex is. And for ladies, if you're a fan of giving blowjobs, you know how much your partner loves them. So what's stopping you from taking it to the next level?
Mm-hmm.
Granted, a clean anus is most desirable when you're actually licking somebody's asshole.
It's
so,
very important.
Absolutely.
Very important.
I mean, once your destination, the asshole.
It's desired and required.
Just, you know,
desired
get a little
required.
Handle of those butt cheeks and get acquainted. Get acquainted with your new little friend. Your little.
It's a little wrinkly, you
yeah,
know.
You know. Yes.
Wrinkly.
As long as well, it's yeah, clean, I mean, you don't want to go down on a dirt knot.
Yeah, no.
No garlic knots here.
I mean,
rust. You want to toss the salad, you just don't want extra
you
dressing.
Just go for, you know, some like gentle sweeps, get a little bit more aggressive, slight insertions every so often.
Yes.
And I'm sure some of you are gagging right now. So
I
no,
am.
Like, no way, no how. But you know what? Your loss.
I gotta take a break. I'll
I mean,
back.
I'm sure if a girl was kinky enough, if a girl was kinky enough, she would totally. If I was a straight man and a girl started licking my asshole, because I know how it feels, fucking lick my asshole.
I'll
so straight
back.
Men, straight women, lick the booty hole.
If you want to get pregnant, lick that booty hole, get him going, and then have him shove it in because he'll get it right to the egg in 1 second.
For some reason,
this is fucking disgusting.
I feel like straight couples aren't a big fan of teabagging. I love being teabagged. I'm sorry.
Drop them nuts on my face.
You fucking put those nuts over my face. I'm going to fucking... See, that's the best part, because if you're being teabagged, the butt's right there, too.
Schmo, pay attention. Trish is ready.
Schmo, teabag your wife.
Please.
And teabag then if Trish.
Like, you know,
fuck
when,
the wife,
you know when you're
Trish.
Like licking the back of the balls and all of a sudden you're on the taint? One more inch and you're there at the hole. So here we go. Teabagging and rimming. Why not?
Hello.
Yes.
Bravo.
Teabag and rimming. Why not?
We also have nipples.
Well, we still have five. We remember.
That was two. Now we have nipples. Nipples, nipples, nipples.
Yes,
nipples, nipples.
Two people, four nipples.
Minor pierce.
Four times the pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Just throwing that out.
If you're a heterosexual guy, you probably just dive in and not much of a nuisance. You know, keep acting like a teenage boy. Playing with a woman's breasts for the first time, making it all about you. But if you're ready to move into a more mature state, pay attention. It goes for you ladies, too. If your man has never been a big fan of nipples being touched, he's seriously missing out.
Put some syrup on
Love it. My nipples being touched. Yeah, they're pierced. Awesome. You know, they're a little bit sensitive. So many gay men find nipple play just as powerful as blowjobs and anal penetration. Mm-hmm. Love my nipples being played with. There's a lot of guys out there who have, like, wired nipples, and, like, they'll get off just by tweaky, tweaky.
Wait, so, wait, wait, you know, wait, wait, can you do that
pinching,
again?
Pinching, tweaky, tweaky.
Yes!
Pinching, twisting of the nipples leads to very good things. I play with my nipples when I jack off. Do you go?
My nipples aren't really that sensitive. I'm gonna
Mine appears, so.
Back to the butt.
Back to the butt.
Number four. Anal penetration,
yes,
tongue
queen.
Or otherwise, contrary to popular belief, isn't all that gay men live for in their sexual experiences.
Agreed. That's true.
There's a whole very spectrum true. Of taste when it comes to gay sex. However, the butt is a very popular area of pleasure, and it doesn't have to be penetrated.
I'll be honest with you, though.
A little
massage. If somebody can kiss me the right way, I can come.
Kiss
just
you?
Just by being
like
kissed.
On the butthole or on
no.
the lips?
Yeah, that's what I'm kissing.
But back to the butt. You don't even have to be penetrated. Even like a little massage on the butt. I love my asshole being played with, even if you don't go in it. Put a little bit of lube on there, you know, massage it with your fingers.
24/7.
Hello. Giving a fucking high five to the doctor who gave me that goddamn procedure.
Yes. Although he says
Before
he's never going back.
Before she had to numb it up, she was like fucking going in at it. She was putting the numbing cream on there and rubbing my hole. And at one point, I'm like, am I getting aroused right now?
Pretty much.
So yeah, just lift up their legs and massage their butthole.
I can't.
And number five.
Number five. Shall Finally, we? Number five.
Edging.
Yes. Oh my God.
I did that. I just tried that.
Edging is so good. Straight men, I don't know how you guys fuck. Because a lot of straight men, I hear a lot of girls being
because
like,
all they do is,
he fucked me and I was, he was done. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they're
what
like,
the
no.
fuck, what the fuck is up with that?
You got to like, edge no. yourself, plain and simple. Getting to the edge of
you
the orgasmic.
Come more.
As soon as you're about to climax, you fucking stop. Pull mm-hmm. out. Or just One. Stop pumping.
Yeah. Take it easy for a minute. Slow it down.
Just let the juices
Ladies,
relax for a little bit.
Don't do Kegels if he's about to come, because that's like your butthole kissing a dick. And that feels real good. Just don't move, and
listen,
I won't move, because if I... try to do one more little stroke inside you. It's coming.
Force him to edge. As soon as you know he's about to, just push him off.
Yeah, exactly.
And throw him against the wall. Be like, see, I told you. Now let's try it again. Seriously.
Yeah.
yeah, no, you have to edge.
Edging is a
is
great
important.
Thing.
It is.
There's guys out there who can edge for like 3 hours before they even come. And I'm like, ugh, maybe if I'm with somebody. But guys that just like to edge while they're jacking off alone, good for you.
I do it sometimes.
What, well, not mean, me. When I'm alone,
when
fucking
I'm determined.
2 minutes, I'm done. Bye. Good night.
Good girl.
But yeah.
It's like, if you're, never mind.
What?
Never mind.
I can't.
Mm-mm. But yeah, those were my five sex tips for the day of
nice.
Heterosexuals well, spicing
nice.
Up their sex life.
Bravo. And that was the first time that Paul Anthony did his little segment, and we're going to try to bring you a fresh little...
It's going to be a surprise every week, so we will not be discussing what's going to be happening next yeah. Monday for the sex tip.
Sex Sounds tips good. With Paul Anthony.
Yeah.
I appreciate the surprise, but this is very good.
Bravo.
Bravo.
Gay She's couples or it. Heteros, go out and get it done.
Yes,
just do it.
Teabag and rim. Nipples, 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 edging. Yes.
Yes, queen. Yes, yes, yes.
So before we move on, if you just want to chim in a bit. Meanwhile,
sure. in Canada,
we want to give our open up our arms and give a big welcome the Canadian Olympic basketball. I said that word much better this time.
Yeah.
The basketball team will be basketball.
We'll be playing three exhibition games here in the U.S., warming up for Rio.
Now, if you guys remember, a Canadian invented basketball.
Yes, he did, in Springfield, Massachusetts, but he was
It doesn't count because he was in America.
Is that why the Basketball Hall of Fame is in Springfield?
Because basketball is invented in
Springfield. It is the shittiest building I have ever seen in my life.
Well, I just drove by it the other day when I was coming home from Boston. Yeah, it's really, the Basketball Hall of Fame, it's adorable at night.
Yeah, they light, when they light it up.
I mean, they've done a lot of work to it, but you got to understand that the last time I was in Springfield probably was like 10 or 15 years ago. And Springfield wasn't that pretty 10 or 15 years ago.
Oh, no, it's not. But girl, we got to go to the Student Prince. It's the best fucking German restaurant around.
But we love you.
We're going to go. But I just wanted to put it out there. If you guys need a place to crash, y'all can come to my apartment, Canada. We'll see you there.
Meanwhile, at the DNC, the Human Rights Campaign endorsed Hillary Clinton for president. A lot of shit's going on at the DNC right now.
We had the RNC last week.
Oh, it was a mess.
I will say, with the Republican National Convention, you know, the co-founder of PayPal, an openly gay man, spoke. He was speaking, and Donald Trump did acknowledge the LGBT community. And he actually thanked the crowd because no one booed when it came up.
Don't be fooled, people.
I'm not trying to. I'm just trying to put it out there so it don't sound so biased.
This is like, the same person who went and agreed that the HB2 law in North Carolina was good.
Yeah. But you know what's awesome about that? And again, basketball. The NBA pulled it out for next year. It will no longer be in North Carolina because they did not change the law. So North Carolina just lost a fuck ton of money.
Absolutely.
Because they're assholes.
Yeah. They literally just said, okay, the NBA is not going to do it anymore. They're not, because the controversial HB2 law that's been on the books now for what, the better part of like 6 months, they're having businesses pull out left and right. And they just don't want to do anything with it. So
I heard they lost millions and millions of dollars.
Oh, yeah. It's going to keep going. They're losing so much money.
They're going to at some point.
Funding. Good. Fuck you, North Carolina.
Exactly. I almost moved to that
goddamn
state.
Well, we love our gay listeners in North Carolina.
Our listeners, we love.
So I have a story, okay, because of the HB2 law that they passed. The artist that we'll have featured on today's show wrote on her Facebook page, she goes, I am writing to you from the state of North Carolina. I have considered the boycott of the state that many have called based on the discriminatory House Bill 2 passed by the North Carolina legislature earlier this year. She continues to write, I thought about just who I would be supporting and who I would be hurting. I came to the conclusion that since many of the folks in my audience are part of the LGBTQ community, I had the opportunity to reach them and support them by coming to the state, and therefore I did not boycott. That was Melissa Etheridge. She decided to do her show anyway because she knew that the people that were going to her concert were the people that were most affected by that type of legislation being passed.
So she wanted to be there for them. I get that. I think that's great.
And that is commendable. And you know what? She made the right point. She didn't say no because...
Like Bruce Springsteen pulled out and many other people pulled out. But at least she put a message up there on why she was doing it.
That's well, there was other powerful artists that were with her on that tour, like Pat Benatar and Neil Gerardo also went with her, and they did the concert there. So, you know, I applaud her because that is important. You know, we have to realize that although we want to boycott these states, we still have fellow brothers and sisters of the LGBT community that live within those borders.
Mm-hmm. The people that need to boycott the states are the heterosexual performers. Homosexual performers need to go into those states and perform.
That's
for the
a really
LGBTQ
good point.
Community.
Exactly.
That's a really good point. That's a great, like, that's like a protest right there. That's a great fight right there. Nicely done, Nick.
I agree. And listen, so we need to jump into our our segment Angels and Assholes, because that is very important.
Very important.
We have decided that throughout the next, you know, 49 episodes, starting with what, three episodes or four episodes ago, that we were going to dedicate every episode to one of the fallen brothers and sisters who perished in the Orlando shootings. And this angel, the angel for this episode, his name is Rodolfo Ayala.
Are we doing angels first or assholes first?
We're going to do the angels first because we
just
started.
Said the angel.
Yeah. So we're going to do that one
Can
first.
I just get a little bit of love underneath this segment?
Yes, right?
Yes. It's like,
there we go.
I think that it is very important to bring forth that these people mattered and that we are not going to be silenced and that we are always going to be remembering them. So, Rodolfo Ayala, 33 years old, from Kissimmee, Florida, was a biologics supervisor at one of the One Blood Donation Centers. The Puerto Rican native loved his career and was known for his compassion. Friends described him as always funny, always smiling, and always eager to help others. Rodolfo had recently purchased a home and a car. Shortly after the shootings, he would have celebrated literally his one-year anniversary as a new homeowner. Sadly, that celebration never happened. As a result, now we are going to discuss our episode assholes.
All right, so all the way from Colorado, we have Cory Gardner, a Republican, voted no on gun reform. And for this inaction,
we label him an asshole.
However, I think it's important to note that the other senator from Colorado, Michael Bennett, a Democrat, did vote for gun reform.
Excellent.
So we thank you.
Thank you
we
very
thank
much.
You. Thank you, thank
and
you,
our
Michael
angel
Bennett.
Thanks you.
Absolutely. Yes. So listen, guys, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Melissa Etheridge.
Yes!
The reason why they died, we will find the answer blowing in the wind. That everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats with my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. Who you gonna hate now, when there's no one left but you? Who are you gonna gun down, if you can't kill the truth? That it's inside of us, it's inside our blood, it's inside of us. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. Everybody's got a pulse.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much. That was our song Pulse by Melissa Etheridge. Ladies and gentlemen, she is our guest tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to allow you guys to listen to the interview that we did with Melissa. She is a wonderful, well-rounded artist. We totally appreciate the fact that she took the time to call us and interview with us, which was great. Boys, right?
So down to earth. Such a sweetheart.
I'm in love with her.
Yeah. That makes two of us. So, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, this is our interview with Melissa Etheridge. Thank you so much for calling. You're live on Gay Talk 2.0.
Hello, Tom. It's Melissa Etheridge.
Hello, Melissa. Thank you so much for calling the show.
Oh, my pleasure.
Well, I'm here with my co-host on the show, and I'll let them introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Nick. They call me Trish. It's a long story, but hi.
Hi, Nick, that they call Trish. Long story.
Hello, I'm Paul Anthony. Nice to talk to you.
Hello, Paul. Nice to talk to you.
It's so great to be with you. My name is Chris.
Hi.
And
party.
Always is.
And this is Gay Talk 2.0. We are super, super excited to have you call the show and talk with us for a little bit. Super excited.
Sure.
So I know that the guys have questions for you, so I'll let them start and get the interview going. It's just so exciting.
Right on. I have answers. Let's do it.
Yeah. So this is Nick or Trish, whatever you want to call me. But I was wondering, you know, there's been a lot of stuff in social media and in the news about the Orlando shooting and how it, you know, they're trying to tag it as a non-hate crime. And I feel like it's kind of a slap in the face to the LGBTQ plus community saying that. I just wanted to know what your opinion was, especially after you've written such a beautiful and inspiring song for all of the victims and the families.
When I look at something like this, it is so layered. Yes, it's a hate crime. Yes, it's a hate. This man hated gays because he also hated himself.
Right.
You know, we all we have to do is just hear a couple of the, oh yeah, we saw him in here a few times. Oh yeah, you know, and you see the selfies, and you're like, oh, this poor tortured man who, and then you're like, he's one of us that just is, you know, in his own cage, and you can only, you know, cage someone up like that for so long until they explode with hatred for themselves, and they either do themselves in or they take out, you know. They try to kill it outside of themselves. So yes, this is a hate crime in so many, so many ways.
Right.
So can I ask, this is Tom, Melissa, how soon after the tragedy occurred did you write the song?
Well, I rolled off my bus about 9 o'clock in the morning, East Coast time, on that Sunday, and got into a car that drove me into New York City. And I started reading my Twitter feed, and I started reading all the news, and I was just, you know, devastated. And like all of us, we're just waiting to hear any bits of information and news and what happened, what was it, who was this, what's going on. And as it unfolded, it was that story. Yeah, somebody killing so many of us, and it, you know, just the story, and it just... So I was in my apartment in New York City, and I was alone, and I just was pacing my around the room, and I have this great old guitar there that I really love, and it brings me comfort. And so I started playing it, and I realized, oh, wait a minute, I'm writing a song, and grabbed my wife's notepad and pencil, and I just started writing, and it's something you kind of do. It just felt good. So, and then halfway through it, I realized I was... You know, oh, I'm writing this song that I might want to record. And I called my friend Jerry Wanda and said, hey, you got some studio time tomorrow? And we went in and recorded it Monday. And I told my management, everybody worked all night long mixing it and putting it together. And by Tuesday, it was on the internet.
Wow, that's beautiful. Yeah. So how emotional was it to record such a song? I mean, especially since this song really geared towards a community that you're a part of.
It was emotional to write it. I remember right after I first got my first rough draft of it, my wife wasn't with me. She was back in LA, and I put her on FaceTime. I said, honey, I want to sing this for you, see what you think about it, you know, and we just both just, you know, bawled our eyes out, and, you know, and she said, yeah, you know, she's a sweetheart. And, you know, so it's extremely emotional. It still is. Every night that I do it, it's very emotional.
I've watched a couple of performances, and quite frankly, I can't get through them without getting teary-eyed or even getting emotional. Such a beautiful song, and I want to thank you for writing that. I mean, that's a beautiful, beautiful tribute.
The first time I heard it, the tears just started welling up, and I just couldn't control myself, and I was crying, and it just spoke so clearly to these victims and these families. It was just written so beautifully. I can't imagine having the ability to do something like that. It was truly inspiring.
Well,
in such
a short
time.
So much. I think that's what music is in our life. I think those of us who are musicians understand a responsibility. That's what we do, is take the human emotion, put it in a container, and a place where we can go visit it and feel and let those things flow. And that's, it's, you know, it's got to be healthy. And I'm just so grateful to have, you know, been in the right place to receive that. And thank you. It heals me, and I wanted it to heal others.
Well, I that's really beautiful. And this is Chris, and I'm a musician myself, and I totally agree with you, as sometimes it could be so painful to have to put this like piece of art together, but your song was so empowering and it really lifted me up hearing it. And that's the best part of a musician. When you really feel something inside, you know, it can cause you pain, but when you finally put it out there, it can make people rise up and bring everyone together. That's the best part about music.
That's the best part of our community too, is that our reaction was not, oh, we're going to go kill all the Muslims or whatever, you know, the right. reaction we could have had. But it's no, this is about love, and this is about not understanding love, and this is about a deep pain inside, and this is about a belief that we keep on our path, and nothing, no one can make us go back into any shadows, and there is no shame about who we are. This is a society that is catching up to us in sometimes very painful ways. Mm-hmm. And you know, we are leading, the gay community is leading this change in the world, this change where people are like, no, there's no more categorizing people in groups and saying that they're less than or that they're bad. There is no more of that in the gay community, because it cuts across every type and color, and every community there is, a portion of them are gay. You know, it's so our community is leading this human societal change that I see happening across the whole world.
So can I take you back? 1993, Bill Clinton's inaugural ball. You walked on that balcony and you shouted it out on the microphone, "I am proud to have been a lesbian all of my life." How liberating was that?
It was amazing. It was a year of, it had been a couple of years. The funny thing was, in the music industry at that time, the late 80s, early 90s, it was very much don't ask, don't tell.
Right.
I mean, if you scratch my surface at all, you will see that I had played women's music festivals, that I played for 5 years. I played in lesbian bars. I mean, it was pretty clear that everybody knew that I was gay.
Lilith Fair was happening around that time, correct?
Lilith Fair just started right after that.
Okay. And I know Katie Lang was jumping in the back behind you. She was super excited.
Oh, yeah. Because she had just did her advocate. You know, Katie Lang and myself and Rosie and Ellen were actually really good friends back then. And we would have long talks late into night over glasses of wine and saying, you know, well, do you think, you know, what if we come out? Well, this, and, you know, because nobody was out and no one knew what was going to happen. Yet we were very out to everyone who knew us. We were not in the closet. We were just not, we had not crossed that publicity line.
Right.
And so when I did, it was like, I said, okay, I'm willing to answer your questions. And for 5 years, I talked about being gay, and that's all I talked about.
And that's amazing. I mean, I could see the enthusiasm in your face, and certainly Katie was just ecstatic about it. It was just a very, very powerful moment. And I remember watching that video, and I was like, wow. You know, I came out in 94, so I think that this sort of kind of influenced my decision to do so. So
I'm just,
oh,
picturing,
well, thank you. It was a time. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm just picturing you sitting down with Rosie and Ellen and being like, Ellen, if you don't come out first, I'm doing it. Let's go.
Right.
Let's go.
Yeah. Well, you know, they were in television, so it was very different. They took a bit longer. You know, me being rock and roll, it was, you know, you could do anything, you know. So I did that, and it was just such a great experience. And then I remember Ellen calling me. We had dinner, and she goes, "Okay, I'm going to do it. It's called the puppy episode, and I'm going to do it." And I was like, "Right on, girl. Here we go."
That's awesome. So let me ask. So coming out back in the 90s was certainly different than doing it now. What message would you have to our youth that are questioning or thinking about coming out nowadays?
I would say walk your path, and it will unfold in front of you how you should do. And always just be truthful in whatever the situation is, and it will unfold. I believe that we don't have to have huge, you don't have to do it in front of the press corps at an inauguration anymore. It doesn't have to be this big thing. You can actually walk every step of your life in your own truth. That's what we're really after here, is that, there's no more assumption of, oh, well, they're straight until they tell me they're gay. These are options. These are all the colors that we are. And as we grow and as we become adults, what colors are you vibrating? This is my color. This is what I feel. And to just, it's to the young adults, just young musicians, young actors, just be who you are.
That's so true. And
it will unfold differently now.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. I agree. I think it's they have so much more options now than we did, 20 years ago. So it's beautiful to see that transition, but I'm just super excited that you're even talking to us. You have no idea. I've always admired you as a musician, because I know that you're a lyricist. You've done music for such a long time. I mean, you started early on in the 80s and you found a lot of success, especially in the early 90s. And it has been really amazing to watch your transition. I know that you had a fight with breast cancer.
Yes, and 12 years ago. 12 years cancer-free.
Yes, awesome. Congratulations.
And you came back strong. And after coming back, I remember you had a performance where you had shaved your head off and you came out on stage and people just looked at you and said, wow, this is amazing. And that was one of the most amazing performances I had ever seen you do.
Oh, thank you.
It really was.
It was a very pivotal time in my life. And I made quite a choice of, once again, I learned from my experience of being, a lesbian, that being truthful is where I need to be. And when they asked me if I would come do the tribute to Janis Joplin, I thought, well, I'm just going to be out of chemo and gee, I'm going to be bald. And okay, well, and I'm just going to be what I am. It unfolds in front of me. So I did that, and it just made such a huge impact. It still does. People, a week doesn't go by that somebody doesn't mention that performance still, and it's been 10 years, 11 years. So I'm happier, healthier than I've ever been. I'm grateful for that experience, and it was a big turning point in my life.
Well, we're certainly happy that, you find yourself cancer-free nowadays, because we want to hear more music from you for many, many more years to come.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and speaking of performances, do you have any coming up in the 2016-2017?
Well, I am on the road right now. I don't know. Where are you guys located?
We're in Connecticut.
Oh, I was just there.
Oh.
God, I just played all over there. I just played in, where was I? Fairfield? And
we're in New Haven. We're close to everything.
Oh, yeah. I'm always coming back there. I'm always on the East Coast, so I'll definitely be back there. I'm in the, southeast right now and headed up to Chicago and then going to start heading west eventually. I'm all over the place. Just go to my website, melissaethridge.com. You'll see the whole big tour schedule.
We'll certainly put that we'll put that information on the show, so that if our listeners want to as well, they're able to actually get that information. And I'm sure we have a lot of we we're a show that caters to the LGBT community. That's not the only community, but specifically for that, because we talk about a lot of issues that, you know, occur in our community. And having you on is certainly a highlight, and I'm sure that our listeners are going to greatly appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, thank you. I always love reaching our community.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful to hear your voice. Do you guys have any other questions for her? Because I know that you're busy, and we don't want to keep you at all. So,
If I could ask just one more, I'd really appreate that.
All right, come on.
Yeah,
let's go.
More on the music note. I'd be interested to know who some of your influences were, because like when I hear you, you know, we all grew up listening to you. Whenever I would hear you sing, I would feel like. I'd feel Janis was with me, and I'd feel a little Tracy Chapman with me. Like I said like you said, yeah. Who are some of your influences, if you'd like to share?
Well, see, I grew up in the Midwest in the 60s and the 70s, and that was an incredible music time. It was a time that you could we had one radio station, but they played everything. They played. I could hear country music. I hear Tammy Wynette and Conway Twitty, I could hear Elvis Presley. Then I could hear the Beatles. Then I could hear the Rolling Stones. And I could hear Marvin Gaye and Otis Redding and Aretha Franklin and these great vocalists, and then these great singer songwriters, Simon and Garfunkel then later Bruce Springsteen, and I just. Loved music, and so I just listened to anything and everything. It was probably mostly rock and roll, but I loved the Supremes and the Jackson 5, and I loved R&B and soul, and I also loved rock and roll, and the bands I was in, we played country, so I had a very large spectrum of music, and I would say the artists that influenced me the most were probably the performance of Janis Joplin,
yes,
the writing of Bruce Springsteen and Joni Mitchell and Peter Gabriel, and just the vocalness of like Aretha Franklin. I would say those are the ones that I really say. And then the sexiness of Tom Jones. I want to be all that.
That's
she's
awesome.
She's a lady.
So, out of all those individuals and all those artists that you've mentioned that you looked up to that were your influences, which one was the one you wanted to work with, and did you get to work with that person?
Oh, it was always Bruce Springsteen. He was just, it was always what would Bruce do? And when and in 94, when MTV asked me to do an Unplugged, I was like, yeah, and they said, well, is there anyone you want to do a duet with? I said, well, my lifetime dream is to sing with Bruce Springsteen. They said, okay, we'll ask him. I was like, oh yeah, right. Okay. And they called back the next day and said, all right. He said, yes. I said, what? And he, it was ridiculous, and so we actually sang his Thunder Roads, and it's go on YouTube and look up Etheridge Springsteen Thunder Road. It's just one of my favorite moments of my life. I'm so nervous when I'm singing with him. So nervous.
We're definitely gonna have to check that out.
Oh yeah, we are. The way you felt about him is the way we felt about you saying, yeah, no, I'd love to come and talk to you.
Yeah, I really appreciate your staff, and we're greatly appreciative to Katie and for them even arranging and agreeing to even Deb Klein helped us out greatly.
Good. They're such good people, my management, and they know that I love talking to really anyone who wants to have a good conversation. I'm up for it.
That's fantastic. So if you're ever in the area, you make sure let us know. We would. Greatly, it would be an honor to have you on the show, actually in the studio with us, and
oh, how much fun would it be to hang out with you guys?
It would be awesome.
Well, we have a good time.
We usually have a cocktail during an episode. What's your favorite? We'll make it next time.
Well, I'm more of the herbal sort of essence, but
we'll have an herbal tea with a shot.
Oh, all right. Yes. Okay.
I don't think that's the herbal she was referring to.
Now I get it.
You can fill him in later.
Get it together, Paul.
Yes, oh, there it is.
She's on the struggle bus today. Which is usually the case for all of us, because usually while we do our show, we like to have a cocktail and drink. So by the end of the episode, we're usually gone. Today, we all left our jobs to come do the interview. And we're like, all right, we got to get to the studio. And so then we all got to go back to work.
Yeah.
Coffee's not as fun. No cocktails yet.
Yeah, no, you know, cocktails.
We'll have
no
one tonight and think of me.
Oh, we will. Certainly will. Yes, we indeed. Certainly will.
Yeah.
So, you know, we want to thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for calling in again, guys.
And just so you know, you really are just like a pillar of hope for the entire LGBTQ plus community. And we can't thank you enough for everything that you do. It's truly inspiring.
Well, thank you. We are very special and blessed people, and we have quite a mission in life, and that's to be our best and to find the most joy that we can in this world and show people how to get there. So,
and show people how to love.
That. Love is love.
Yep, that's right. That's right, honey.
And let's love will that. Always win.
Yeah, I love you guys.
You too.
We love you.
Thank you so
Melissa,
much. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
She's a lady. Whoa, whoa, whoa. She's a lady. And the talking lady about. Is mine.
And the lady is a mine.
I'm the lady. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the one and only Melissa Etheridge.
Yes.
She's amazing.
That experience was beyond compare to be able to speak with her.
It was. She was, you know, a truly, truly a genuine human being.
Yeah. Down to earth.
She can talk to anyone and anything, and it was just amazing. We loved having her on the show, and if we ever get the opportunity and she's in town, we're going to actually bring her on the show.
She was like, how fun would it be to hang out with you guys?
I know.
She would have a blast. I'm sorry. She would have
a
blast.
If y'all didn't have to go back to work, I would have been like, let's talk to her for another hour.
I know. She didn't want to get off the phone.
She didn't
want to
get off the phone.
Yeah.
She was cool.
Originally, they told us, you know, we're going to give you 15 minutes, and I believe we took 23?
Oh, 21?
21 minutes?
Yeah, so we're over the 15.
You know, thanks, Melissa.
Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you.
Yeah, so much fun to chat. We kept asking, you know, is it okay if we ask? Oh, she was absolutely, please go. Ask away. It was just an amazing experience.
Well, in October, I think she's going to be at the Apollo Theater in New York City.
We will be there.
And we are
we'll
going.
There. We'll be there. So.
Backstage passes.
Hello. It would be amazing to meet you.
Yeah, she won't miss us. We're going to have a big Gay Talk 2.0 banner and t-shirt. She'll be like, Melissa! Melissa!
I know them. Oh, my God.
Stop the concert. Bring us up.
I'm still beaming.
Hello.
I'm
come still beaming. To my stage, boys.
Yes.
Sing with come me. Sing Gay Talk 2.0.
Come to my
bedroom. I got some tea for you. Yeah. Some tea and some shots.
I know. My favorite part. We'll make some herbal tea. I'm like, really, Paul?
I don't think that's the kind of tea she was talking about, Paul. But
well,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Sure.
I was a little bit excited. I didn't really get it. It's over my head.
So speaking great. Of herbal tea, shots, and cocktails, so. We never plugged our cocktail
and
in our
it was
dish.
A delicious
we
one.
We have to.
You know, it was okay. It was all right.
I'm gonna have a sip of it because I don't ever drink on Mondays. So let's see what this is.
So tonight, what we did was a cucumber, basil, and lime gimlet. And
ooh, girl.
In the cucumber, basil, lime gimlet is cucumber vodka, cucumber muddled with some fresh basil, and a little bit of lime juice.
Delicious.
Mm-hmm. We added some ice. And then we shook it up, added a little bit of soda and a splash of lemonade, and there you go. You gotcha.
And
cucumber, basil, lime, gimlet.
With
USDA approved organic vodka.
Key West.
Yes, free range organic.
USDA
I love it.
It was really good. Mm. It was really good. Mm. So, ladies and gentlemen, after that interview and after all we've dished on today, I think I'm pretty much dished out.
Yeah.
We need to plug the show. We need to thank, first of all our subscribers. Subscribers.
Put a rubber on it, darling.
Yeah, we need to put a rubber on this episode. So I want to thank everyone who tunes in every week, after week. You guys are making the show amazing. And as long as you continue to do that, we can bring more people on board for interviews and have amazing guests.
And I think it's so great that... Sorry. I think it's so great that, you know, we have so many listeners here and in the States and abroad from Canada to Sri Lanka to Russia to Germany, now having some more out there to Japan to Australia, all over the world. It's so great to have you guys with us every week.
Very, very
and be with you every week.
And, you know, you guys know how to reach us. If you guys need to, you can go to our website. That's www.gaytalk20.com. If you have anything that you would like for us to discuss on the show, you can email it right to our email.
At gaytalk2.0@gmail.com.
I'm proud of you, girl.
Thank you.
And of course, we're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We are on Instagram. You can find us pretty much on any of the major social media networks. And, you know, on our website, we have our bios. You can go and read up on myself and Nick, because the other two have not gotten their bios.
You're going to get mine tonight with a new picture.
With the Lederhosen.
And the Canada shirt.
So, you know, there's a lot of things that we want to do for you guys on the show. And also, if you guys want and could, go to iTunes and give us a rating and tell us what you think about the show. And we would greatly appreciate it, because the more you rate the show and you tell us what we're like, whether you like it or not, the better we get on iTunes and the more exposure we have and the better.
And the better we can gear our show to you.
Exactly.
To our listeners.
We're doing it for you guys. I mean, we enjoy doing it so much, but we're not just talking to each other. We're talking to the world. We want to hear what you guys think.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yes, queen.
So, yes, queen.
I got so a yes, queen tonight.
We
yes.
are.
Yes.
So we are truly, truly, absolutely grateful. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. That is our show. Y'all have a good night.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more Dish.